Chapter 41. A 7-day dash. The wild ride with Carlos Contreras continued well into 1975. Weekends were spent either in San Miguel de Allende, where I was studying full-time, or in Mexico City, where Carlos lived with his family. The capital city offered culture by the barrow load. For example, collections of high art, spanning centuries, contemporary art galleries, a scattering of world-famous murals, an enormously rich archaeological heritage, live theater and dance. Whereas, by contrast, provincial centers like San Miguel offered wealthy Mexicans an opportunity to reconnect with their quaint colonial past. But I was busting to see more of Mexico, other than the view from a bus window every 6 months, when I traveled north to Texas to renew my tourist visa. Instead, I was keen to travel south. With the Instituto holidays approaching, Carlos and I hatched a plan to spend 7 days as tourists, driving around southern Mexico in his VW Beetle. We were both short of money, so the ever-resourceful Carlos succeeded in gathering the camping basics from his large extended family. A tent, a pressure lamp, a couple of blow-up mattresses, and sleeping bags. So we set off, with the camping gear neatly stacked on the back seat of the car. As we climbed out of the gray pollution that shrouded Mexico City, we were pulled over by a policeman on a motorcycle. Carlos got out, to be told that the back seat of a car was for passengers, not things. For this breach, we were ordered to pay an on-the-spot fine of 1,000 pesos, the equivalent of $80 US then. The alternative was to go back to the police station and argue the case. As it was, we were late getting out of the city, so Carlos decided to pay up and shut up. I was livid, and, as I had the cash, I paid the fine. On the road again, I was spitting chips for some kilometers before finally blurting out, "There's no way I can live in this country where corruption is the accepted way of life." My good humor gradually returned as we drove west, to Veracruz, where, for the very first time, I dipped my toes into the cooling waters of the Gulf of Mexico. The highlights of our trip were numerous, as it was always a laugh a minute with Carlos. Here, I've described the most memorable of them. From Veracruz, we drove south into the state of Oaxaca. High on my list of archaeological sites to visit was Monte Olban, located not far south of Oaxaca City. It was a partly excavated ceremonial complex, constructed in 500 BCE, by the Zapotecs. To get there, we drove up a steep winding, mostly single-lane road, cut into the side of the mountain, with a sheer drop down into the valley below. At the summit we were met by some kids, likely descendants of the original inhabitants, selling small pre-Columbian clay figurines. We assumed the kids had dug them up from a grave somewhere on the site. It was late afternoon, so we hurried off to take as many photographs as possible before the light failed. Carlos with his super fancy camera, and me with my mother's basic Kodak. When we returned to the car, the kids were waiting for us, hoping for a sale. It was getting dark, so we offered the kids a lift down the hill. They eagerly accepted, and quickly clambered in the back, perching themselves on top of the camping gear. As we began our slow descent, Carlos took the opportunity to interrogate the kids. He asked, "Where did you get those figurines?" Quick as a flash came the chorus, "Oh, our mother made them." In a heartbeat, we realized the implications of what had just been said. After which we laughed so hard that we risked driving off the edge of the narrow road. The children's honesty was certainly beguiling, and very amusing. Our next stop was Oaxaca City. Where possible, we ate at the town markets where the food was fabulous, fresh and cheap. To avoid Moctezuma's revenge, the jargon for diarrhea, I was very careful to only eat well-cooked food. With our tummies full, we cruised the outer markets, where I discovered masses of burnished black clay pottery vessels of all sizes. I was captivated by the classic simplicity of the forms. I bought up big because the pots were so cheap, thinking to distribute them as gifts for Carlos's family and others on our return. After Oaxaca, we drove on to Salina Cruz, a small town on the Pacific coast, having crossed the country from the Gulf of Mexico to the Pacific Ocean, in a couple of days. On our arrival, we treated ourselves to a sumptuous feast of huge fresh oysters, after which I stood with my feet in the shallow water of the Pacific, wistfully gazing westward across the flat navy-colored sea. I was somewhat taken aback to find myself involuntarily lifting my arm to wave pathetically in the direction of my homeland, some 13,000 kilometers beyond the curvature of the Earth. We walked back to the car as the sun was setting. As we unpacked, I noticed a line of fluid running down the passenger side front wheel. I felt a sharp involuntary intake of breath, and stood rooted to the spot. Was it brake fluid? If so, we were a long way from home, and very short of cash to fix it. Desperate to identify the liquid, I stepped closer and gingerly dipped my finger into it and had a sniff. It was dog pee. We breathed a huge sigh of relief, before doubling over with laughter. We'd been on the road for 6 days, and the time had come to turn around and head back to Mexico City, for Carlos to return to work, and for me to return to the Instituto. With only enough money remaining for one last tank of fuel and my bus fare to San Miguel, we arrived at the Contreras house late in the evening. His parents were surprised to see me, and even more surprised when Carlos boldly announced that I was to stay overnight in his sister's bedroom, as she was away. The senor and senora could barely conceal their disbelief, because Carlos's request was totally outrageous. By inviting me to stay, he was making a mockery of the rigid Mexican upper-class conventions. When the dust had settled, I was shown to his sister's bedroom, and immediately locked the door, not knowing what risky tricks Carlos would get up to during the night. As it was, the only intrusion was a couple of pathetic notes, pushed under the bedroom door. I read them, and had a chuckle before dropping off to sleep. Next morning, I was farewelled by the family, before taking the early morning bus back to San Miguel. The four-hour bus ride gave me plenty of time to begin reflecting upon our experiences, both amusing and weird, during our 7-day dash around southern Mexico. The next time Carlos came to San Miguel, he brought with him all our developed photographs. It took us some time to go through them all, after which he said, "Your photographs are better than mine." High praise indeed from a professional photographer. Which just goes to show that a 3-year art training, with considerable emphasis on composition, has value. Or maybe he was just being kind. On reflection. Barro Negro pottery. From the numerous pieces we brought back from Oaxaca, we invited Carlos's parents to choose a couple of pieces to keep. Fast forward to 1990, when I visited Carlos Sr. on my way back from South America. I noticed he'd placed one of the Oaxaca pieces on the coffee table. I was delighted. Firstly, that at least one piece had survived, and secondly, to note that the shape of the vessel remained as visually satisfying as it was when I bought it some 15 years earlier. Just goes to show that good design is timeless. And I wonder where that pot is now. Carlos Contreras de Oteiza. Of all my significant other partnerships, it is with Carlos that I share most artistically, because we both possess a heightened awareness of both aesthetics and beauty. There was no need to speak. I could just point, and Carlos would nod in agreement. And vice versa. A cluster of clouds, a tree, a building, a sunset. We were acutely aware of the beauty that surrounded us, and reveled in sharing it with each other. Overnighting. In 1974, Mexican families, like most families in predominantly Roman Catholic Latin America, were anxious to be seen as living a moral life, thereby avoiding censure. For the Contreras family, to have their son's girlfriend sleeping in their house overnight, in full view of the house staff, was beyond the pale, because staff gossip. Of course, Carlos thought it was hilarious. Facts. Monte Olban. The civilization that thrived at Monte Olban is thought to have collapsed with the loss of its most important trading partner, Teotihuacan. Religious worship at Monte Olban was based on ancestor worship and a pantheon of gods. Mexico. In 1974, the population of Mexico was 60 million. 50 years on, the population had more than doubled to 130 million.